Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson. With me, as usual, is Julia Monin.
Greetings.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you. It is morning when we're recording.
It is morning. Yeah.
That's just how the schedule has worked out. 2 weeks in a row, morning. Mm-hmm. It's extra goofy in here in the morning.
It is.
And sorry, I just cut you right off. I apologize.
It's okay.
In your normal routine, are you like this goofy in the morning?
It's hard to differentiate between levels of stupidity that I, you know, like.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably just high and very high.
Sure.
So. Honest. Hard telling.
Honest answer.
Hard telling.
Honest answer.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about it, but I probably will pay attention now.
Yeah. Right. Well. I should say, it's not like super early. It's not like it's 5 in the morning. Like, that's different.
Yeah,
it's 9-ish
right.
or so. Yeah, exactly.
It's 9-er.
9:02.
Yeah.
So it's not super early. It's like it's like a good early.
Yeah, mid-morning?
Sure.
Mid-morning, I believe.
Sure, I'd say that.
Okay.
So anyway, how goes it in the world
Swell.
Of Father Sean Wilson?
Yeah, everything's going fairly well. Good. You know, life has its crosses, and that's for sure. But the Lord's there, so that's good,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. So this morning, the reading was the little girl, you know, Talitha Kum, mm-hmm. I say to mm-hmm. you, little girl, arise.
Yeah.
I thought like, I feel like Jesus is telling me that. Yeah. Get up, little girl. No offense to anybody who's,
sure.
you know,
right.
12-year-old girl out there, but yeah.
That's so funny.
And then once she gets up, she needs some food.
Right.
So once you get up, you need some nourishment. So I was like, all right, I'm going to consume the Eucharist as my nourishment to get up and get down to business.
So that's hilarious. And I thank you very much for sharing that. That passage has had a profound impact on my life as well.
Yeah.
You know, I struggle with like getting into the routine of getting up and moving, getting to Mass in the morning,
sure.
all that good stuff.
Sure.
And so like I've worked on this with the Lord's grace for years. In fact, so many years that I didn't even go to morning Mass. I just went to Mass at noon or evening Masses at area parishes because who can make Mass at 7 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that passage was what I would try to use as motivation, like Jesus whispering in my ear every morning when I woke up, little girl, arise. And it did not work.
Oh no.
And so thought this is so beautiful. This is really going to work. I had
sure.
it wrote down. It was like, this will be
profound.
This is so
right?
profound.
The
it
Lord
will get me out of bed in the morning.
To you, arise.
Yeah. Little girl, arise.
That's interesting.
But I like your take on it.
Yeah. Mine's more like grow up.
Grow up. Get up.
I thought what you were going to say is for 17 years, you wasted your money on doctors from today's gospel, huh?
Oh.
How about that, huh?
Right.
Shout out to all of our friends in the medical profession.
To the woman who wasted all that time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I flipped over my little John of the Cross quote. I have little quotes of his in a book. Turned mine over today.
Sure.
And I wish I took a picture of it. It was something so bold. And so John of the Cross, like the Lord wants suffering more than miracles. It's like something similar. I'm like, yep, suffer it up, man.
That's right. That's funny. Somebody else just read something to me similar yesterday. Yeah. Anyways, I don't remember it exactly, so I'm not going to try to butcher it.
But suffering is beautiful and
it
unites
is
us with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
sorry, making a not so mental note.
It's good. Okay.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for your revelation, the fact that you disclose yourself to us, and we ask that you may help us to be receptive to your word, that it may animate our lives and it may guide our actions. And we ask that this Holy Spirit may animate us today and all those listening to this podcast. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. So what are we talking about today?
The Bible.
The Bible.
So sacred scripture, to be more precise. And there's a bunch of different things in the catechism about the Bible, about sacred scripture. So this is kind of the first of three parts. And we've already done, I believe, the second and the third part already
on
sacred scripture. So this will round it out.
This is, or begin at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really good. Like, this isn't, like, anyway, this is... what is it? What's this word of God? Christ, the unique word of sacred scripture. And then, of course, what we're reading in this part, is this not like, were you not hearing John's gospel in this the whole time you were reading this? Like,
oh,
in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God.
I was actually thinking of something else.
What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, we're on paragraphs 101 to 108
yes,
today.
Thank you. Good point.
But the, I don't know if you noticed, like, what was getting quoted left and right. DV
right.
stands for De Verbum, the Second Vatican Council document on divine revelation.
Okay.
Which is phenomenal, right? Like, people talk about Second Vatican Council and the liturgy and, you know, and all these different things. But the document on divine revelation is phenomenal. And normally, if you have a Catholic Bible, it's in the front of it. I was going to bring mine up and just... But take my word for it. In my Bible, it's in the front. It's not terribly long. It's worth a good read. It's a phenomenal document. Who was a big influence in writing it? Drum roll, please.
What? You see, we got an answer from...
Father Joseph Ratzinger.
Okay.
Oh. Instrumental in the writing of the Vatican II document on divine revelation. For those who don't know, he became Pope Benedict the 16th.
If you follow us... Yeah. Also referred to as the B-16 bomber.
The B-16 bomber, that's right.
It's a more formal name, but...
Anyway. Yeah, and actually it's kind of one of his unique insights at that time period is in the section before this in the catechism. So stay tuned to whenever the dart falls there. But yeah, so De Verbum gets... But you were talking John's gospel, right? The word that comes to dwell among us.
Right. But no, that is, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was going to be one of the first things is point us in the direction, enlighten us about what that is because it is mentioned in this section a lot. Yeah. Again, paragraphs 101 to 108. So 101, in order to reveal himself to men, God speaks to them in human words. Huh. Makes sense.
It does. Because that's how you understand it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like if you're going to talk to a child, right? Like let's say... Hypothetically, you're a philosophy professor.
Okay.
You're going to address your students very differently than you're going to address your three-year-old toddler, right? You're going to use all this language in your philosophy students. But when you go home and you need to tell your three-year-old whatever, you know, to stop sticking random things in his mouth, you're going to condescend is the word. And that's not like to speak little, but to come down to the level. And so God uses the words that we can understand. Words.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. indeed, the words of God expressed in the words of men are in every way like human language, just as the word of the eternal Father, when he took on himself the flesh of human weakness, became like men. So you're going to miss this, and maybe we should point it out every time we read it. Like when we're talking about the word, it's capitalized here, talking about Christ, right? Christ becoming
the word became flesh. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But there's a great analogy here between what it means that scripture's inspired, and it talks about inspiration here a little bit later, but how it is this kind of the words of God and the words of men in the incarnation in Christ, right? Christ has two natures, truly human, truly divine. Sacred scripture is, as it just said, the words of God expressed in the words of men. So just as it's not, so like inspiration is not just like God dictating to St. Matthew and Matthew's up there like kind of getting it all scribbled down, like trying to hear it. It fully respects Matthew's humanity, just as the incarnation fully respects Jesus's humanity, right? It's not just God walking around in a Jesus suit, but he's truly human. So it's this incredible coming together of humanity and divinity in words, right? So the word of God is communicated in our words. So it's a beautiful, just kind of the incarnation just permeates everything in sacred scripture, whether it's the topic or whether it's the way it comes into being. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And that, gets to like paragraphs 105, 106, 107, 108 towards the end of this section talks about that a lot.
I'm jumping the gun.
That's perfect.
Sorry.
No, that's beautiful. 102, through all the words of sacred scripture, God speaks only one single word. There, that's capitalized again. His one utterance in whom he expresses himself completely. He's, of course, talking about Christ.
Yeah. And this gets, and this is like a kind of allusion into Father Joseph Ratzinger's insight, because where does revelation come from? And so there's kind of a debate at the Second Vatican Council, and even in his doctoral dissertation, which almost got rejected because it was a bit innovative, are there two sources of revelation, right? scripture and tradition, right? Two sources of revelation. And Father Joseph Ratzinger argues, no, there is one source that's expressed in two ways. One source, it all comes from the Word, right? Mm-hmm. Everything comes from the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the one that reveals, and then it's expressed in scripture and tradition. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just one, right? Like Christ is revelation. Mm-hmm. Whether he's walking around and curing and teaching and miracles, or whether he's communicated to us through the words of men in sacred scripture, or whether it's actions that have flowed from Christ through the church and the tradition, mm-hmm. whether that's the liturgy or moral teaching or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he is the one Word. Like everything comes from Jesus Christ in revelation. Heed the Word.
Capital W.
Capital W. Lowercase d on duh.
Exactly. We get this beautiful quote then from Saint Augustine in this paragraph. You recall that one and the same word of God extends throughout Scripture, that it is one and the same utterance that resounds in the mouths of all the sacred writers. Since he who was in the beginning, God with God, has no need to separate syllables, for he is not subject to time. I read that, I can't tell you how many times, because I'm like, what exactly is that saying? And I'm not going to claim that I know, but this reality of what you just mentioned too, that, you know, Christ is the source of all of this, this one utterance, right? Mm-hmm. It's all right here. And God is not, has no need to separate syllables. He's not subject to time. And thinking about, again, what we opened with, that God meets us where we're at. He speaks to us in this human language. He comes down to this level so he can communicate himself to us because he loves us that much.
Right.
But he's so far beyond.
Yeah. Right. Our ways. Like, yeah. Beyond.
Beyond. To infinity and beyond. That's right. Buzz Lightyear, actually. So,
you're a great prophet of the.
You're quoting Pope Benedict.
Yeah, but, you 1990s. Know. Right. Buzz Lightyear.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so for this reason, the church has always venerated the scriptures as she venerates the Lord's body. She never ceases to present the faithful the bread of life taken from the one table of God's word in Christ's body.
Mm-hmm.
So there, there's this great kind of allusion that the scriptures and the body of Christ, the Eucharist, both nourish God's people. And so we recently at St. Joseph did a little bit of a sanctuary renovation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that got redone is the ambo, right? The ambo is done in the same style as the altar. And that's not just to say like, hey, let's keep a theme going. Let's keep everything so it's not like stark. I mean, of course, it's more pleasing to the eye if things kind of match. But there's also part of it is that these are the two places from which the church is nourished. Mm-hmm. The church is nourished from the word of God, and the church is nourished from the table of the mm-hmm. of the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why, like, generally, now on a very rare occasion, I will like leave the ambo to preach, but like this is the place from which God nourishes his people. So that's where we're going to speak the words, you know, whatever mm-hmm. homily mm-hmm. from there. So yeah, so there's a connection between the altar and the ambo from where the people of God are nourished.
Right. Okay, and that kind of, you just summarized too what was in 104 in Sacred Scripture. The church constantly finds her nourishment and her strength, and she welcomes it not as a human word, but as what it really is, the Word of God. In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children and talks with them.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it is.
The Father comes lovingly to meet his children and talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
How often is that, you know, you could just describe so many numerous occasions of like scripture being either like a father's consoling words mm-hmm. or a father's convicting words mm-hmm. or a father's encouraging word. Like mm-hmm. there's so many times you read something and it's like, mm-hmm. that's what I needed to hear, Lord. Mm-hmm. Or that, like, I see myself in that and I see the way you worked with whoever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Moses or whether it's, you know, mm-hmm. the little girl and the gospel and mm-hmm. the Lord is, encouraging, mm-hmm. nourishing, strengthening, convicting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Redirecting.
Teaching.
Right? Yeah.
Teaching. We get a lot of that. We get that all over scripture, but you know, sometimes we can't make sense of the Old Testament in the way we can make sense of the New Testament. And there's so much, it's not hidden, but you know, there's so much God that our Father is teaching us through all of these stories of salvation sure. history. We can get lost in that. Mm-hmm. By the way, shout out to Father Mike Schmitz, because I know him. I don't. He'll be another one like Dr. Sri, where there's like, yeah. Stop mentioning me on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not associated with these people.
Right.
Anyway, he, you know, with the Augustine Institute, that's them too, isn't it, that produces that? Isn't it the Augustine Institute that produces his Bible into your podcast?
No, that's Ascension Press.
Oh, Ascension Press. Both great.
Yeah. Doing the Lord's work.
Both doing the Lord's work. Anyway, this Bible into your podcast, not something that I have followed like daily myself, but I know that it's bearing great fruit.
Yeah.
And just the reality of how popular it's been is, you know, proof that we are hungry for the mm-hmm. Lord and for his word, and our hearts want to understand it in a way. So if you haven't searched for that, search for that. And you know, if it takes you more than a year, it takes you more than a year.
Yeah. Keep right? cranking through it.
Right. So anyway, okay.
All right. So that was the first part, Christ, the unique word of sacred scripture. And now it's going to go to inspiration and truth of sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 105 through 108, these next four paragraphs.
So what we were talking about before, God is the author of sacred scripture. The divinely revealed realities which are contained and presented in the text of sacred scriptures have been written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
And that's important. You know, that seems like, duh,
sure.
Right? But it's important to say, like, this isn't just that God was at work in this, that this isn't just, you know, like some sort of fabrication or some sort of just merely human design. And sometimes, you know, people who are scholars, but not exactly like deferential to the church and our teaching, would say things like, well, it was, you know, the Bible came together as some sort of conspiracy, or these aren't actually inspired, they're just the works, and it was a whole political process that got these books included in sacred scripture when it wasn't, like the Gospel of Thomas isn't in there, and it was this whole political thing or whatever. And so that's why we need to have this in the catechism. Like, mm-hmm. No, the books in sacred scripture are those that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, for Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the apostolic age, accepts as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and New Testaments, whole and entire, with all their parts, on the grounds that written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author and have been handed on as such to the church herself. It's the importance of the church of deciding which books are in sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and these discussions, they're still out there. Right? I taught RCA last night and stayed after talking with a guy whose family is not Catholic, and they're talking about all the books of sacred scripture. It's like, well, who gets to decide?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it up to me to decide which books are mm-hmm. part of sacred scripture? Because there's some that people are, you know, watch the History Channel, and you got all sorts of things on there.
Mm-hmm.
So who decides what's inspired?
Mm-hmm.
And the church does. And it's not mm-hmm. like on a whim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the church had to, there was discussions, mm-hmm. right? There were saints that disagreed whether or not the letter to the Hebrews should be included in sacred scripture. The book of Revelation, those are in the New Testament, two of the probably most hotly debated ones. And some said, no, this shouldn't be sacred scripture. But the church ultimately said, this mm-hmm. is divine revelation. So that's really a big deal, is that the church, right, receives sacred scripture so that it can be handed on to us. And it's not like you just have to, we have to figure it out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Man, I didn't want to say anything earlier because I didn't want to make you nervous, but you're bringing it today.
Oh.
And now I can say that.
Now I'm freaking out.
Nervous.
I just feel my pits getting sweaty.
That's why I waited until the, like, we're getting to the end. So
I need now you can wardrobe get, change.
Now you can get fumbly. Right on, man.
I mean,
seriously, yeah. And we run the risk of that reality is if Holy Mother Church isn't guiding us, then we run that reality of, again, we've talked about this, forming God in our own image, letting the scriptures mean whatever the heck I need it to mean for me today,
right,
to fit whatever
right.
the heck I'm doing for today.
Right.
So it's dangerous.
Yeah. There's one of the apocryphal, so not canonical gospels. It's either Thomas or James, right? You imagine like why somebody would have written this. So Jesus is about ready to ascend to heaven. And this is, right, this is not part of sacred scripture. This is one of the reasons like this book, the church is like, that's not going in.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Magdalene's there. And somebody asks, well, what's going to happen to Mary Magdalene? And Jesus says in this gospel, this is not really Jesus. This is what this writing says, is mm-hmm. Jesus says, don't worry, I'll turn into a man and then she can go to heaven. It's like, right, like mm-hmm. how crazy is that mm-hmm. somebody wrote that? And there's a reason why that's not in sacred mm-hmm. scripture. It's laughable.
Mm-hmm.
So the church inner wisdom reflects on all these
Absolutely.
Things, right?
Absolutely.
But right. what does it have? Okay, I'm going to get on a, I'm going to get soapboxy, but what does the church have? Like, how does the church decide what is and what isn't, right? If it's just like, it, so the church that comes before the Bible, right? There's a church that then decides what books are in sacred scripture. It's not that the church flows from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this is different Christians, like this is where things get backwards, right? Mm-hmm. The Bible belongs to the church. It's not that the church flows from the Bible, mm-hmm. Because the church has to protect the integrity of revelation, mm-hmm. of sacred scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened from the beginning, right? The Jesus Christ sent out a church. He sent out 12 apostles. He didn't write a book, mm-hmm. right? And that's actually the last paragraph in here, mm-hmm. about people of the book. Mm-hmm. People, the word. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Good.
Muy importante. Very important.
Right. Exactly.
Spanish lesson of the day. Right. Yeah.
Man, and I'm even getting Spanish today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Importante means important.
Right. Right. Mind blown. Exactly.
All
right.
God inspired the human authors of the sacred books, and then a quote from Dave Verboom. To compose the sacred books, God chose certain men who all the while he employed them in this task, made full use of their own faculties and powers, so that, though he acted in them and by them, it was as true authors that they consigned to write whatever he wanted written and no more. Mm-hmm. That says a whole... That's what does it mean that it's inspiration? And like so many things, it's kind of easier to say, well, what it's not.
Sure.
Right. So it's not God dictating, right? Mm-hmm. It's not God just saying, you know, like I was kind of describing earlier, Matthew, write this, this is mm-hmm. okay, great. Mm-hmm. Or it's not like Matthew just writing something and God says, good work, let's approve it. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not just God approving what they wrote. It's this combination, it's the incarnation mm-hmm. all over again, right? Of mm-hmm. their human faculties to be fully employed. So for example, like the gospel according to Saint Matthew is organized like really well. Mm-hmm. So it's like Jesus, there's five sermons that Jesus gives. And so it's sermon, action, sermon, action, sermon, action. And it's just, it's organized like really well. You're like, Matthew, why would he be the one that's writing this? He's got to be a record keeper, right? He's collecting taxes. So he's the one that's keeping the record of what Jesus did and organizing it. Just like your accountant is mm-hmm. going to keep a record of what happens and then organize it so it can be presented so that somebody can understand it, mm-hmm. right? So he's got, God is fully using Matthew's ability to do this, to employ it, all the while inspiring him to do it well and to say no more, no less than what mm-hmm. he wants. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could take this, keep going on. Like Luke, we've learn in the Acts of the Apostles, is a physician. Look at all the people that get healed in Luke's gospel, right? Like Luke's paying attention to all the healing mm-hmm. and all the poor people, right? He's like, this guy's a doctor of the poor because mm-hmm. this is what he's really focused on. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Right.
Yeah. So it's fully human. It's fully divine, mm-hmm. right? So so that doesn't tell us exactly what it means to inspiration. It means like, that's probably not it. That's maybe a little too far, mm-hmm. right? That's too human. That's too divine. Mm-hmm. But they're inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think too, I keep going back to the reality too, that the Bible, the sacred scripture flowed from the church and not the other way around, because we can get confused yeah. by that yeah. reality. And to think about, again, how much God loves us, how Christ came to save us, and Christ comes and again sends this church out into the world. And this is, you know, after, because they were meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, so they're meeting as a church and having the sacred liturgy in the homes of the church before a Bible is ever
oh, yeah.
written down, right? And then so they're consuming on him, they're consuming him and the body and the blood of Christ.
Teaching.
They're teaching, right? And then it's from only after that that the sacred scripture was flowed and put together, right? So it's just interesting to think about God's providence throughout, again, all salvation history, but in the birth of his church too.
Yeah.
After Christ's ascension and that reality of how much he loves us, that he wants us to know him and he wants us to know his truth, that he continues to like unveil himself to ways to help us do that. Again, going back to what we said, he communicates in a language we can understand. And I like to think too, and it can get so confusing with all the, divine revelations or private revelations. And we've talked about it on a past podcast and how the church, Holy Mother Church, guides us through that. But it can get confusing about who to believe and who not to believe. But the reality is if these are really coming from the Lord, it's not because he's telling us anything he hasn't already told us. It's just that he wants us so bad to be with him that he's willing to communicate it in different ways so that we can understand. You didn't quite understand this. Let me communicate it to you in a new way.
Or you seem to have forgotten. You know, you think like Our Lady of Fatima, prayer, penance. Mm. Yeah, that's what God's been saying from like day one.
Right.
Yeah, and conversion of life. And so it's nothing new. It's just like, all right, we gotta hit them with the good stuff again.
Exactly. Well, even all everything in our modern day and age and everything we have now, you know, at the access of our fingertips, talking about the Bible in a Year podcast and all this great things that God has given us. It's not like new things and, you know, you gotta listen to this podcast or
you're not going to know
you're not
gonna
God. But the reality is we have all of these things because God loves us so much. Like we have an abundance of ways to come to know him and understand him in a language we can understand. So anyway, he's good.
So good. Okay. All right. 107.
Is anyone else like doing the... song.
The inspired books teach the truth. Dave Verboom. Since, therefore, all that the inspired authors or sacred writers affirm should be regarded as affirmed by the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge that the books of sacred scripture, firmly, faithfully, and without error, teach that truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, wished to see confided to the sacred scriptures. That's inerrancy, basically. What does it mean that scripture is inerrant, that it's not wrong, that it tells the truth? And this defines it. And you can like break it down. So it's like firmly, faithfully, and without error teaches that truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, right? Mm-hmm. So the primary truth is for our salvation. Mm-hmm. And you can like, this is... really important when looking at the book of Genesis, right? Especially the first 11 chapters don't seem to be like historical, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the truth they're trying to communicate? It's not, because there's actually like two stories of creation, right? So what's the truth those books are trying to communicate? First, that we're made in the image of likeness of God, that there's been a fall, right? That everything came from God, that he created everything out of love. And those are really important things when you look at like creation things. So the truth is... that truth for the sake of our salvation, right? Mm. But there are things that are important, like the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, if it didn't historically happen, our salvation is vain, as St. Paul says, right? Mm-hmm. So there, it's not just to say these stories are important to teach us about God. They did happen, right? Mm. But is it important if Jesus went to the synagogue first and then drove out the demon and then went to the synagogue, as Luke and Mark have a bit of different in chronology there? Well, not exactly, right? And who knows how many things got forgotten, or not forgotten, but didn't get included in there. So this is just, what does it mean that they're inspired? That they teach without error that truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, right? That's ultimately the goal. It's not so that we can know exactly how many days happened from here to there or whatever. Mm-hmm.
We can know him.
Right.
So that we can follow him. Right. That we can love him and serve him with undivided hearts, right? Free
Absolutely.
From everything that's attaching us to things of, you know, that free from all the enslavements that are keeping us from loving him and him alone. So even going back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, the different ideas or thoughts or conspiracies or whatever it might be and all these different things that come up through the years. I mean, are we spending our time focused on who's lying to us and where the truth actually is? Or are we actually spending time trying to grow in our knowledge of God and follow him wherever he goes? There's just that reality we can get lost and consumed by anything and everything that's not him.
Right.
And ultimately, this is all him drawing us back.
Yeah.
To him. So
it is. So we have to trust it, right? Mm-hmm. And trust that the church isn't trying to hoodwink us, isn't trying to pull anything over, but she gives us this, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to know all the development of how scriptures came, but we have to know that this is really the word of God, and he really wants us to hear this for salvation. Mm-hmm. And some of those issues with, you know, as you mentioned, like scholars saying this, that, and it's kind of like crazy. Well, that actually hurts us to trust that, like, oh, the church is lying to us, right? Mm-hmm. So if we just know, the church is the church is helping us towards salvation, mm-hmm. It's been entrusted with sacred scripture. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to know, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we'll leave it to people like the B16 Balmer to sort out all those right. those questions that, yeah.
Right.
All right. The okay. last one.
Okay.
Still, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Christianity is the religion of the word of God, a word which is not written and a mute word, but the word which is incarnate and living. Mm. If the scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're not a religion of the book, which means God speaking to us is not primarily through a book. It's through a person. Mm-hmm. It's through Jesus Christ. And how do we learn about a person? How do we learn about the word of God? Right? If I wanted to learn about Julia Monin, mm-hmm. there's a couple ways I could do that. Mm-hmm. Right? I could read what I could talk to your husband, mm-hmm. right? Like, and have kind of like hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I could learn from the words that he would say. I could read your books and mm-hmm. Shout out there online. And you know, you could learn about that, mm-hmm. or I could hang out with Julia mm-hmm. and learn about her, right? The same way, like, we're not primarily of just people of the book, right? Of like, you just have to know this, because if you can't read, you can still be a Christian, mm-hmm. right? If you're not literate, you can still follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we have the liturgy, so that you can enter into this. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. So people of the word. The word that communicates himself to us.
Mm. Okay. And then that reality too of what we end here on. If the scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, just words on a page that mean absolutely nothing, Christ, the internal word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the scriptures. And that's the reality of that as well. Like, mm-hmm. can't just like pick up your book and read a paragraph and say that meant nothing to me. It really, like, to become a prayerful experience, and not just one where you're diving in and saying, well, I think it means this. What do you think it means? I mean, that's why we have Holy Mother Church and her wisdom and her guidance sure. to guide us, and Bibles with footnotes, like mm-hmm. help us with that reality as well. Like, what does this all mean? And a catechism to go right along yeah. with it. Exactly. But anyway, it does take the Lord to open our minds to understand it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Can I quote John of the Cross real fast?
Because absolutely,
man, as I'm reading that, and again, I'm thinking about John the Evangelist, and thinking about the opening of his gospel. I'm then thinking about John of the Cross. John of the Cross writes, "In giving us his Son, his only word, for he possesses no other, he spoke everything to us at once in this sole word, and he has no more to say." And again, the word here is capitalized, referring to the word of God, Christ. "In giving us his Son, his only word, for he possesses no other, he spoke everything to us at once in this sole word, and he has no more to say."
What? There it is.
There it is. And that's the beautiful. Like, in the beginning was the word, and the word mm-hmm. was God, and the word was with God. And that is this section talks about how important sacred scripture is. The church is nourished and fed. And yes, it has this importance. And then also, We're not a religion of the book. This mm-hmm. is about Christ, right?
Right?
The word of God.
And the words communicated, expressed mm-hmm. in sacred scripture.
Right, right.
Cool.
All right.
Is that anything else? Or is that a cross or off?
I think that's a wrap. Well, I can read there was a couple things here in the in brief section. All sacred scripture is but one book, and this one book is Christ. Because all divine scripture speaks of Christ, and all divine scripture is fulfilled in Christ. The sacred scriptures contain the word of God, and because they are inspired, they are truly the word of God. God is the author of sacred scripture because he inspired its human authors. He acts in them, and by means of them, he thus gives assurance that their writings teach without error his saving truth. So that was 134, 35, and 36 in the little section that we talked yeah. about today.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Hit it. The Our Father, petition 6 and 7. How about that?
Oh.
2846 and 2856.
Oh, we're
going to
break down
prayer.
The Our Father?
That's the end of the section on prayer.
Okay.
Is breaking down the Our Father.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Oh, in case you didn't know, the Our Father is a prayer that Jesus gave us.
It's going to be like that, huh? we're going there. Huh?
Yeah, we're ending there.
Actually, I really appreciate that because sometimes the most obvious things are not obvious to me. So anyway.
I knew you knew that one though.
Okay. You were confident of that. Can I do a quick shout out before we pray?
Yes.
I want to shout out your classmate, Father McCullough,
who
I got to meet last week. Mm-hmm. What a swell guy.
Yeah.
You know what his first words to me were?
I don't.
He said he saw a picture of you on this episode with a ridiculous mustache, and he wanted to punch you in the face or punch you in the gut. It was something about punching you and how terrible the mustache was. And from that moment on, I knew I liked that man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, shout out to Father McCullough.
Yeah. There might be further discussions of Father McCullough and facial hair in the future. So,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That man. Yes. Shout out Father McCullough.
I'm sure.
Dear friend. Brother in the Lord.
Right.
And,
hater of your ridiculous mustaches.
Mm-hmm. Singer of ridiculous songs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, okay. Anyway, I'm going to end here in prayer with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.